Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
Oh, he is so good. And golly, you know, you sing these songs and you go, gosh, you know, we're just so blessed because we know him. And there's such a richness in him. And I came in, we had chapel today for the kids. You know, you just see how lost, our children are. You know, when you come into the chapel services at New Life, I walked in and it was like I just wanted to say, oh, God loves you and you are just so extraordinary. He's called you to extraordinary things. And you know, because it was just like there was just such a heavy need for that, you know. And because these kids just don't know. And I think about the fact that, you know, I'm called to minister everywhere I go. And to spread the good news, because it wasn't just for me. And I just have to remind myself of that. You know, I don't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of me just for me. I have it to give to other people. And they need desperately Jesus. The need is so great. And we live in a bubble, I tell you. We live in this grace-filled bubble at times. You know, we get in our little places, you know, in our comfortable places. And I have this wonderful, joyous life. It's so wonderful. But it was so wonderful when I didn't know God. And so I just have to remind myself, I just cannot be satisfied in my own little bubble. I can't be satisfied. I can't be comfortable. And so I think that's part of what I'm trying to talk about tonight. You know, I've been talking about the relationship that we have with God, and I've just been tacking on to that first word that I was preaching on about relationship with God, because, you know, I just want it to be where I just do the things that I do because it is just who I am, you know. And it's the things that I do are the things of God. It's what he would do in every situation. It's what he would say in every situation. And I just want it to be where I'm just walking through this life and I don't have to think about it. It just flows from me. And that's what I want to talk about, because that's what it's all about. You know, Holy Spirit living on the inside of me and me not inhibiting him. Me allowing him to do what he wants to do through me, to touch the world around me, because I have the good news on the inside of me. And each one of us do. And everywhere we go, we have the potential to change the environment everywhere we go. And we should go with that expectation and that desire and that mission and that purpose, because I have good news on the inside of me. And I can't forget what it was like when I didn't know him. I have to remind myself of that, because I have such a blessed life now, and it's rich, it's full of good things, but I can be so satisfied in my good, sweet, happy life that I don't think about the fact that others are really out there dying and suffering, and they're living in darkness. And so, you know, I have Holy Spirit on the inside of me I talked about how, you know, Holy Spirit has his primary responsibility on the inside of me is to get me to the finish line, to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I talked about in the past how, you know, the overarching plan of God, you know, is that none perish, you know, for God so loved the world. And I was part of that love of the world, you know, that when I heard the good news and I asked Jesus to become my personal Lord and Savior, I got to be a part of this great big family. And so I want to talk about how does that work? You know, God has that giant plan for all to be saved. But he has an individual plan for my life, too, that's part of the grander plan. And it's an individualized plan for me because the places that I go, Dave doesn't go. You know, the places that Dave, you know, that Bill goes, I don't go. It's like we go to different places, you know, and so we affect change in different areas, in different places. You know, Gladys ministers to many, many women, you know, sitting in her chair getting their hair done. You know, what a great place to be able to share your faith, you know, and you do that. You purposefully share your faith. You purposefully pray, you know, and God moves through you and you minister to people, you know, and that's what we need to be doing. And I want to talk about the mechanics of everything when it comes to flowing in the Holy Spirit. You know, we break things up into, oh, you know, there's the fruit of the Spirit and then there's the gifts of the Spirit, you know, and I don't want to talk about categories. I want to talk about being, you know, being who he's called me to be. And I have Holy Spirit on the inside of me. How more intimate can God get with us than to put part of him, who he is, on the inside of me to equip me to affect change on this earth? And so, you know, Holy Spirit's in there with me. When I got saved, you know, my spirit got regenerated, you know. So Holy Spirit and my spirit are in there together, you know. But we know that the soul, where the mind, the will, and the emotions live, is not, it didn't get redeemed when I got saved, you know. But there's a working towards that, you know, in this life. But what's interesting is Holy Spirit's on the inside of me, and he's connected to my spirit. And I like what Watchman Nee says about it. He says that Holy Spirit makes a union with the human spirit to govern the soul, and then the spirit and soul use the body as a means of expression. And that's just really basic. How does it work? You know, Holy Spirit's on the inside of me, connecting with my spirit. They are governing, set up to govern the mind, the will, and emotions of me. And then they use my soul and the body as a means of expression, because we really need Holy Spirit to be able to flow through us uninhibited. And so how does the mechanics of all of that work? Now, let's see here. But it goes to the whole thing we have to ask ourselves is who's in control. And we understand we've got that struggle in this life, you know, because while my spirit is regenerated and Holy Spirit's on the inside of me and I have the power of God to overcome in this life, I still have to contend with this body on a daily basis. And I also have to deal with my soul, where the mind, the will, and the emotions live. You know, I'm called to crucify my flesh every day. You know, Jesus, you know, he hung on that cross for me, but I'm also supposed to daily crucify my flesh, you know, my desires, you know, my fleshly desires, those things that are tied to the earth. And I'm also needing to let my mind, my will, and emotions get it, control it, and set it on the things above and let it be flowing in the will and purposes of God. I thought another thing that I thought was interesting in this statement that I read, it said, the independent action of the soul must be destroyed. We must see how the soul has to be smitten a fatal blow by the death of Christ as to its self-strength and government. As with Jacob's thigh, after God had touched it, he went to the end of his life with a limp. This would illustrate clearly that forever there must be registered in the soul the fact that it cannot and must not act out from itself as the source. That is so critically important. And, you know, breaking the outer man, you know, it sounds so, breaking and crucifying the flesh, you know, it sounds painful. It is. It's telling yourself you're not going to do what you want to do, you know, because you're going to do what God wants you to do, you know. It's hard, and it's not comfortable at times. But I'm not going to let my flesh rule over what God wants to do in my life. And I know everyone in here, you want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. You don't want to stand before God and not know that you didn't finish what he called you to do. And the only way we can finish strong is by breaking this outward man. And there's a process that takes place. You know, we make a choice every day to put the flesh down and take up the cross. But also there's a process that God has where he's showing us things in our lives that we need to change and work on. I think it's interesting. We have to submit to what God wants to do in our lives. We have to yield ourselves to him. And we have to trust him enough to know that he's not going to harm us. And one of the things I think that's interesting, and I thought it was interesting that Bill really hit on this as you were, you know, giving the, you know, talking before the offering, you know, you kept addressing Father. Father wants to get these things to us. What do you want? Father, Father. You know, we talk about Father and his love for us, but, you know, he's such a great dad that he wants to discipline us. And, you know, we don't like the idea of discipline, okay? Nobody likes the idea of discipline. But I wanted to read in Hebrews 12, 4 through 11. I'm going to actually start in verse 5, but I want to read this. It says, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives." And I love the fact that, you know, at the very beginning it says here, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord." Again, addressing us, we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And yes, God, you know, when he wants to point his finger at something on the inside of us that needs to be dealt with because it's inhibiting the flow of Holy Spirit through us and inhibiting us from doing the things God's called us to on this earth, you know, he addresses us as sons and daughters. Immediately. And, you know, it's from his love that he deals with us. And we have to be willing to let God deal with us. And I think it's interesting. I know Ira has said over the years, he goes, you know, I don't want to have to go around the mountain a bunch of times. You know, we've heard that teaching. Joyce Meyer talked about having to go around the mountain. We've talked about it in church here about, you know, the Israelites in the desert and how they had to keep going around the mountain because they disobeyed God. And we don't want to be going around the mountain and causing ourselves to be unfruitful in the things of God. You know, you bear fruit in this life, but what kind of fruit are you bearing? Okay, you need to ask yourself that. You know, are you bearing eternal fruit? You know, are we doing the things that God's called us to do? Or are we... we're producing something. What are we producing? Are we producing eternal life things, or are we producing death stuff? And when you're living, again, and I've said this before, when you're living in yourself and in your own ways, you're reproducing death when God wants you to reproduce life, you know? So, and how does he get us to that place of reproducing life? He deals with us in our own lives in areas that are inhibiting us from flowing in the things in the spirit, and so we have to allow him to do that and trust him because he's a great dad. You know, unfortunately, not everyone's had a great dad on this earth, so we have a tendency to just identify with our earthly dads when we have to recognize that we have the perfect Father in heaven. Who has such a great love for us, and he loves us so much that if I'm going over there and I keep trying to put my hand on the stove, he's going to smack my hand. You know, he's not going to let me put my hand on the stove and get burnt because he loves me so much, you know. And I've got to be willing to hear when he's trying to tell me, you know, you don't need to do that, you know. And why is this all important? Because it's inhibiting the flow of Holy Spirit through me to do the things I'm supposed to be doing on this earth. I don't want to waste time. And that, I've wasted time over the years by being stubborn, you know, not wanting to do what God wanted me to do, you know, and taking extra time when I didn't need to and going around the mountain, you know. and ending up in doing things, you know, in places that I didn't really want to be in, you know. I wanted to go back to the scripture again in Hebrews 12, and in verse 7 it says here, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? And then I'm going to skip down in verse 10. It says, for talking about our earthly fathers, they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good so that we may share his holiness. And I think that it's so important to understand purpose in this. You know, there's so many people in this life who believe God's out there to just smack them down. You know, I have a family member who hates God because she believes that he is always against her, and he's just out there to just, you know, put her down and smack her down, and, you know, and he has no regard for her, you know. And that's the world's way of thinking. They don't know who we know him to be, you know, who God the Father is. And so, but what I love is God puts it down in his word. Why does he have to discipline us? Well, it's for our good, and it's also so we can share in his holiness. We become perfected more and more and more into his image, into his holiness. So there's purpose to it. And it trains us, and it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So there's a yield from it. There's a yield from the discipline of the Lord. You know, it has a purpose, so I can share in his holiness, but it also yields. There's a fruit. So there's something that's produced. It's peaceful righteousness, that peaceful fruit of righteousness, which we all want in our lives. And so when we submit to those, to the Lord when he's trying to deal with us, so that there's not a I call it like a damming up on the inside of us, like a beaver building a dam on the inside of us. When we make a choice not to do what, you know, when God's trying to point out those things in us that we need to change, we don't want to do it, we literally dam up the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. That river that flows on the inside of us, that river of life gets dammed up. When I won't, you know, be willing to deal with the issue that God's trying to point out in my life. And so it's really important that we deal with those issues, that we're quick to deal with them. You know, I said before, you know, Holy Spirit's living on the inside of me. And so if I make a choice to keep going in my own way, I take, you know, Holy Spirit's going to, you know, he's there to help me. You know, but there's going to be a point when Holy Spirit's going to be like, okay, you know, I've tried, you know, and Holy Spirit just steps back because he's not going to bully you into doing what God's trying to get you to do. Now, when we end up in those places, we're taking Holy Spirit with us in those messy situations. We take God with us into those situations that he never intended for us to be in or for himself to be in. And so we don't want to do that. That wastes our time on this earth. That wastes, you know, precious time, because we only have a short period of time on this earth. And as you get older, you become more and more aware of the fact that it is really a short time. Yet I'm an eternal being, and I live for eternity, but I have this moment on this earth to effect powerful change, and don't I want to do that? And so we need to do that. One of the things that I thought was really good is this statement. It says, those who are not intent on carnal things can be attentive to spiritual things. Those who are intent upon spiritual things come under the force of the law of the Holy Spirit. And I love the way that's said. Those who are intent upon spiritual things come under the force of the law of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is powerful on the inside of me. And so when I put my mind on spiritual things, I'm in cooperation with him. And there is a power on the inside, and Holy Spirit helps me to do what's right. You know, there's a force within me to keep me going in the way I need to go. And in that way, you know, we talk about, you know, we need to walk in, you know, the way of God, or, you know, that, you know, Holy Spirit's there on the inside of me to help me walk in that way. And I had this, as I was studying for this, I had this picture on the in my mind of somebody who is leading another person through a snowy, a very deep snowy place. And the guide out in the front is stepping in the snow and literally making a path for the one behind them to step in. And literally you're stepping in the exact place where the guide has put their feet. And that's Holy Spirit. We're literally putting our feet in those places where Holy Spirit has put, you know, forged that way ahead of us. And I was thinking about that in relation to the word and also some things that I had gone through and I had shared in here before about the situation with that, how someone very close to me hurt me terribly. It was just a horrible, terrible situation. And it was a really big wrestling match for me because, you know, in the natural, I just wanted revenge, you know, you know, take matters in my own hands and, you know, and do something about it. And so I was wrestling with this. But Holy Spirit was out there in the front, you know, reminding me of what the word said. Forgive, you know, forgive those that spitefully use you, you know. So as that word was coming forth, I was putting my feet in those places where Holy Spirit was telling me to put my feet, walking that out. And, you know, sometimes we deal with situations in our lives where we literally have to walk it out, not just day by day, but hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second, because the situations are so great. So if you can imagine that snow, you know, imagine in this life we have these big, giant situations that we need a guide to help us walk through, and that's how Holy Spirit is with us. And we have to make the choice to choose the way that God would have us go through it, because in the flesh and in the natural, I was like, you know, I'm not forgiving, you know, they did this to me, and how we talk, and you talk it over, and you know, I was miserable because I didn't want to forgive, I didn't want to, you know, I was mad, you know, and the whole work, you know, rest of it, well, you know, but Holy Spirit was there reminding me, what does the word say? And so I made the choice, even though my flesh didn't want to do it, I walked in that path. You know, and that's what God wants us to do. So what did I do? I made myself come, you know, I had my, I was intent upon spiritual things. I made myself be intent upon spiritual things. I crucified my flesh because my flesh didn't want to do it, you know, and I came under that force of the law of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:2, I liked what it said here. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. But why is the law of the Spirit of life ineffectual in certain people? You know, why is it, we know there's liberty. But as you read down a little bit more, the righteous requirement of the law should be fulfilled in us who walk according to the Spirit. So in other words, the law of the Spirit of life works effectively only for those who are spiritual, that is, those who mind the things of the Spirit. And the word mind can be translated to be intent upon, to be attentive to. So basically, the law of the Spirit of life, you know, works effectively when I mind the things of the Spirit. And I thought about that, you know, the word mind. Have you ever, you know, I don't know if any of your parents said, now you mind your father, you know, you mind, you know, obey, you know, or, well, you know, minding, you know, obviously we're supposed to put our mind on God's word and on what he says. But you know, the liberty comes from keeping my, by having my mind set on the things of the Spirit, to be intent upon and attentive to the things of the Spirit. One of the things I thought was interesting is, as Pastor has been ministering about, he had talked about this, about how God has restored us back to the garden, you know, that relationship when we got saved. It was all about relationship and getting us back to that place of that intimate relationship. And, you know, he put when I got saved, you know, God cleansed me of unrighteousness and he put his spirit on the inside of me. And we know we have to contend with the outer man. But the Holy Spirit, one of the Holy Spirit's jobs is that he's the revealer of truth. And so, you know, we get all excited about wanting to hear, oh, you know, Holy Spirit, reveal some things to me, you know, open the word and you read. And then all of a sudden you read a scripture and you're like, oh, you know, it's something that really applies to you. It's something, you know, you need to change. And it's Holy Spirit's taking this big lamp and he's shining it on the inside of you to show you an area that God wants to deal with. You know, because Holy Spirit, remember I talked about the roles of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, God the Father is the architect. He's the grand architect. God the Son is that, you know, foreman, and, you know, Holy Spirit, he's on the ground with us to make it all happen. And so, you know, Holy Spirit's hearing what God wants to do. And so, you know, Holy Spirit's revealing those things in us that we need to take care of. You know, I want to discover new truths in the Word of God, but very frequently, you know, God would like to show some truths to me about myself, you know? And why? Because, again, he's trying to clear out the debris on the inside of me that's inhibiting that flow of the Holy Spirit. And so, am I willing to let Holy Spirit shine that light on the inside? Am I, you know, do I want to hear what he's trying to tell me? And I have to be willing to do that. And that's being intent on the things of the Spirit, being in, you know, having an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. It's really important to do that, because if I'm not willing to change, again, I can't be effectively used by the Holy Spirit. And I think what's interesting, too, I was thinking about this. You know, the way God works, he works through us. He's not like a genie in a bottle and poof, you know, out comes God and he's going to take care of a situation, dun-da-da-dun, like the Avengers or, you know, some superhero. He's not like that. He made the choice to use us, you know. And so, you know, Holy Spirit's on the inside of us. We have the resurrection power on the inside of us. You know, so we can do anything through Christ Jesus, but he's choosing for his power to flow through us, because that's the way he chose to do it, you know. And so how can I get out of the way so he can move? I need to make sure that I let God have his way. And one of the things I thought was interesting when I was reading John Bevere's book is he talked about the issue of Christian character. And he had talked about how years and years ago, he would go and pick up these really famous ministers and he would bring them to his church. He was the person who would pick them up at the airport, drive them to their hotel, and you know, get them all set up for the meetings. And he would say, you know, some of them would get in the car and he'd be like, whoo, you know, Holy Spirit. I mean, it's just like you were having like a God encounter, because they were just so, you know, whoo, you know, so God was just so in them, you know, and just the talk and it was just awesome. But then he said, and then they'd come to the meeting and then the gift, you know, the power of God would just, you know, be so awesome in the service. And then he talked about how some of the ministers he would pick up, he'd go, you know, they'd get in the car and then the conversation, what it would be like, would not be what we would consider to be edifying or good. But he made the comment that he'd get them to the church and then the meeting would happen and the gifts would flow and the power of God would move. And he just would, he was confused about that. Why is that? Why is it that, the gift still, you know, that the power of God still moved. One of the things that he talked about that the Lord sent him to was the scripture. He said, let me see here. Let me read this. It's in Matthew 7. And I want to back it up to 15 through 23, I'll read the whole thing. It says, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And I think I want to point out in this scripture, first of all, before I go on to what John Bevere said, they moved in the gifts, you know, the power of God. You know, here are people who the power of God moved through. Things happened. Miraculous things were happening. Didn't we prophesy in your name? Yes. Didn't we do these great miracles? What was the answer back to them? Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, because they didn't do what God told them to do. They were about their own business. They weren't under God's authority and power. You know, they were living, you know, they're in their fleshly ways. And one of the things John Bevere said that the Lord spoke to him about this scripture, and he said, did you notice they don't say, but we fed the poor in your name. We visited those in prison in your name. The people who do these kinds of things cultivate the fruit. And I thought that was so interesting. You know, we want to make walking with God complex. It's not complex. It's what are you doing, okay? And he said here, and I love this, he said, cultivating the fruit of the Spirit is a safeguard that positions us to finish well. That is so true. And the fruit of the Spirit is the character, okay? It's the character of God. So imagine, it's so funny how, you know, you read things over the years and, I was like, the fruit of the Spirit, I had put down fruits of the Spirit. There's fruit, singular, fruit of the Spirit. And I was thinking about it, you know, because we've been reproduced in the image of God. So let's just take an example. Okay, say we're all apples. Okay, we're not apples and oranges and grapes and bananas. We're all apples. We have the characteristics of an apple. We are all children of the Most High God. I have characteristics of the Most High God. I have His character. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the goodness, the kindness, the self-control. You know, that is who God is, and that's who I'm supposed to be because I'm His representative on this earth, and everybody that I encounter should be encountering His power and His presence and His character and His nature, because is it going to benefit anybody if I'm up here on a Sunday morning laying my hands on the sick and they recover and all this other stuff, and then the next morning I go into work and I yell at my coworker, which I've done before. I've done that, you know. You know, am I proud of that? No, you know. But, you know, I have to get a hold of myself because that's not how God operates, you know. So, you know, character is so key when it comes to flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, you know, and fulfilling what God wants us to do on this earth. Character is key, you know. How do we, I didn't want to get into a really big discussion over the gifts or the fruit of the Spirit, but it's something that we need to, that's where God, when he's shining the light on the inside of us, He deals with us. I've had a temper over the years, and the Holy Spirit has had to deal with me regarding my temper, you know, shining that light. And I've had to go apologize to people a lot, you know, over the years. Is it comfortable? No. But it's what I need to do, you know. I'm not supposed to go trampling on other people. So I want to talk about some areas. We've got just a tiny bit of time left, so I don't know if I'm going to go into this. I think I might just shut it down now rather than going on to the next section. But anyway, I'm just going to pray. And But I just wanted, all of this is about relationship with God and just fulfilling what he wants us to do, because we have everything on the inside of us to fulfill what he has called us to do. And we want to finish well. You know, we want to have this amazing life on this earth, but we also want to make sure that we don't forget that there's this overarching thing that God has, which is that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So I'm called to give the good news to others. And so how do I do that? You know, those gifts should be flowing through me because they're for others. You know, it's not for me. So I want to keep, I'll keep talking about that the next time, but let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just love and praise your name. And God, it's just such a privilege to serve you. It's such an honor, God, to know you. Father God, you are just wonderful. Your love is lavish for us. And Lord, your provision is wonderful. Every part of who you are is great. And we're just so grateful and thankful for who you are. Father God, I just pray that you bless everyone here. Bless them as they go home and bless the rest of this week. And we thank you for it. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.